Renegade Broadcasting. Everybody, and thank you for listening. This is Sinead, and you're listening to Firestarter Radio on Renegade Broadcasting. So, I am going to do my best to get you guys an hour at the least, 2 hours at the most, but I'm just very, very, very tired at the moment. Did not get much sleep the past two nights. Not for bad reasons, was just doing stuff, and we had some family come into town and had fun, and I was at the beach a lot, so I'm just kind of sunned out and super sleepy. But I will put something together for you guys. I just don't really know what it's going to be yet. I'm basically going to just go through things that I started some notes this week, and we're just going to go all over the place as we usually do, talking about stuff that happened this week, weird things that popped into my head, things that you said to me that made me think about stuff, and so on and so forth. All right, so let's get it started. All right, so apparently, and I haven't really looked at too much yet, I've been disconnected from the internet for a couple days, which has been really nice, but apparently there's been a huge YouTube purge, and all of the fashy content creators, now there's probably some legitimate ones as well, have been taken down, except for a few obvious chills, like No More News, Survive the Jive, Fed Ice. They have managed to stay up, although I think they might have, you know, censored a couple of their videos. Ooh. Yeah, actually, I don't even see Fed Ice kvetching about having anything taken down. So, you know, they still do their little live streams and they still do their videos and all that stuff. They haven't been censored. Kyle's last channel was taken down too yesterday. I think it was the Renegade Broadcasting one, so that one was taken down. I wonder if they're purging a lot of the Hellstorm uploads that are up there. Probably. But yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous that No More Jews is still up there. Let me go check on this guy, this Kyle wannabe, growing out his hair, his beard. Oh, he's changed his logo. He's not using the Fox News-looking logo anymore, which is just hilarious, seeing as most Fox News watchers would probably enjoy his channel. Now it's like some globe-looking thing. No More News. K&M. So he's got 101,000 subs. Live. YouTube censorship storm. Hilarious. I mean, do you guys just see the comedy in this? He's doing a live stream on YouTube with a chat and super chats about how YouTube is censoring everyone. Are you kidding me? This is just ridiculous. Who is he even talking to here? I don't even know who this guy is. Christopher Jean Bjorkness. Oh, that's great. Isn't that guy a Jew, too? It's just, it's absolutely insane that this is happening. They're talking about being censored while they're not being censored at all. Let's check on Survive the Jive. Let's just take a little stroll through the shills of YouTube together. How ridiculous. He's up, but I just saw he uploads these podcasts called Jive Talk, and it's one of them just has a pink background and it just looks so gay, you know, but then again, that guy looks so gay, so, you know, I don't know, but let's check out his cool channel here. All right, he's got 57,000, and I guess a week ago he uploaded Viking Pride, New York. He's in New York at like some Viking parade or something. This is ridiculous. Again, we have this dude is another freaking travel vlogger activist guy. Where does he get the money to go to New York City? You know what I mean? Like, no one ever thinks about these things. Well, he just, you know, he just has enough money to be able to do that stuff. Really? Really? Okay. It's just, damn it, I got a pop-up. Thanks, Survive the Jive's trying to give me a virus right now. Go to his channel, and then I get some pop-up about a virus. It's ridiculous. He's talking to some hipster-looking dude who looks pretty gay, just like he looks pretty gay. And he's got a gut on him, Survive the Jive. He's got a little jelly belly. Wow, this is really cutting edge. Top comment. I love these documentaries you make showing off local cultures and traditions. It's extremely white-pilling, too. Okay, first of all, a 16-minute video of him talking to random people on the street at some little, like, I don't know, was it a Norway Day tiny little parade in New York City? It's not a documentary. It's just this guy traveling around getting paid or having stuff paid for to just... waste everybody's freaking time. What did this do to... Okay. I'm like, when I'm tired, I even have less of a tolerance for the bullshit. I just can't even. This is great. At 2 minutes and 51 seconds in, they have a Jewish-looking rabbi walking in the parade. There he is. Next to someone in little Viking costume. There he is, walking in the Norway Day parade. So, wow, it's really, really, really great. This dude, Survive the Jive, Tom Russell, has something called Jungle Diaries, where he's just in the jungle in Sri Lanka. You know, just because. Why not? You know, why not be in Sri Lanka? So yeah, all these pieces of shit are still up operating on YouTube with no problems whatsoever. Oh, the gay one. The golden gay. He's still up. No censorship there. The video, you know, the automatic video that plays on his page when you open it up is the Hyperborean Sacred Werewolf Training. Step one, start injecting anabolic steroids into your body. Step two, learn how to shake your pecs back and forth. For everybody. Step three, do videos with your shirt off. And be super homoerotic. Now you're a Hyperborean Sacred Werewolf. It's official. This is great. Deadlifting and boxing. Training for Wotan. Okay, so moving on now. Well, still talking about another one of these shill YouTubers. Carolyn Emmerich now. I thought it was interesting that I believe she's tagging my full name in her uploads, at least this one that's entitled Late Night Truth Bombs, because once in a while I'll do a search for myself on YouTube and filter it for the last week because I've been monitoring this Rick Heskey guy who's part of the GDL who uploads my videos all the time. And I'm just trying to see, like, where are they going with this? You know, because they know I openly hate the gay DL and their whole entire stupid operation. So I'm just always wondering, you know, what are they doing? So anyways, I do my little search and I see that this video from Carolyn comes up, which is just weird, which tells me that she would have had to tag my name in order for that to even come up in the search. Usually when you're uploading a video on YouTube, as the content creator, you can put tags in it, hashtags, but that's not actually seen by the viewers. But it will trigger, you know, a search when, whatever, what am I trying to say? It'll come up when you search that name if any of the tags are that same name or word. All right, I'm moving on now in the shill report. Michael Jones, he's really been in the spotlight these past couple weeks. He is the go-to guy for everybody. The MGTOWs, the Jew-wise, the white nationalists. He is just the go-to guy. And, you know, here is a video of him serenading a black woman, I guess in Indiana. I don't know. It looks like they're in sub-Saharan Africa because it doesn't look very modern, the technology. But here, listen to this.
the evening candlelight, still shining bright.
Oh my.
In the sycamore's tree. The new mown hay gives off its fragrance. In the fields I used to roam.
He's got his hand, like, basically his arm around her ass because he's grabbing her hip on the far side and she's standing up. I mean, this is just a sight to see. This dude is so ugly looking, too. I don't know what's wrong with his face, but it's just gross. All right, let's hear some more of this wonderful song.
When I think about the moonlight on the Wabash, then I long for my Indiana.
He literally just nuzzled his nose in her ear like he was about to kiss her. Ew. Wow. The next video, Pope Francis in context. This guy's great. I love this guy. He is the go-to guy. So, you know, maybe I'm going to have him on my show. They talk about being God-pilled and all that. Okay, this is really great. I found a video of Lana, her recent speech at American Renaissance, and she fields some questions at the end, and there's some, like, mystery meat-looking bald guy that, you know, brings up feminism at the end, and it's just wonderful. So we're going to listen to this so we can listen to Queen Lana, who I'm just so, like, jealous of her, though. That's why I talk about anybody, really. It's not because I'm, you know, they're misleading people and they're lying frauds. It's just, I'm just jealous. I just wish I had her life. I wish I could go to Amran and, you know, like, talk about how terrible women are all the time with my bow tie gang, but I can't, and I'm just jealous about it, okay? Gosh. Ugh. All right. Let's listen to it.
Is convincing women that it's much more fun to be 40 years in a veal fattening than working for the corporation and then get discarded than have a husband, home, and children. But one of the lures that they...
I just don't even have a comment on that. We'll just keep going here.
If you're successful women is you will have power. And Louis XIV, for example, famously said, I would give up all other pleasures in order to have power. How are you going to convince women who are in the corporate world who have power, increasingly more power, to give it up?
What? Why is this even a freaking thing that's being talked about? What about males that are, you know, he called it the veal fattening pen, you know, like in corporations all day, corporations that could care less about our people. Why is it cool if they stay in those corporations in slave way, but like women, they've got to go? And what is Lana going to do to ensure that females at the top of corporations got to go? You got to go, girl. Instead of like, maybe we should stop these evil corporations that are destroying everything. It's like, who can be the better slave? Women or men? Because I don't think women can be a better slave. Okay? So what are we going to do to get rid of them?
Well, some of those women are lost and some of those women are not women. I thank you. We really need, honestly.
We don't need those women, you know, because they're not easily brainwashed, like the red pill women. You know, they're not easily brainwashed into hating themselves and their gender. So we just don't need those women. I love these little right-wing people will always say, you know, we don't want them breeding anyways. They're infected with liberalism. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Okay, let's see what else she says here. Queen Lana.
But I think most women don't crave power. I know someone else has brought this up to me. Most women crave resources. And I think the majority of women don't want to be corporate sharks and whatnot. I talked to them.
Why would anybody want to be a corporate shark? Like, what is so fulfilling about that? Making a lot of money? Oh, that's cool. Wow, what heroes. What heroes all these people are.
A lot of younger girls and even girls in college and whatnot. And a lot of them, they don't want to take that pathway. I think that's something that's being pushed in the mainstream media is this is something that all women want and that they're doing. But when you actually talk to women, they don't want that. A lot of women want a family. They want to find Prince Charming. They want to do all those natural, innate things that are women.
Then the music just starts playing and, like, cuts her off. That's great. So, yeah, that was really awesome. What else do we have? What else do we have this week? All right. Oh, apparently, in one of Carolyn's shows, too, she talks about how the guy she was talking to said he blooded his runes, which means he like cut himself and bled all over his runes. So vokish. Oh, neat. Blonde in the belly of the beast had on E. Michael Jones, and I love how she's wearing like some little homely little outfit too. Like, look, guys, I've changed. I'm a Christian woman now. Okay, and moving on now. I'm just going through notes. Aaron Nordstrom, I believe that channel was taken down from YouTube, but it has a BitChute, and I just find it really strange that they would upload Kyle's shows, my show. Well, no, they actually don't upload my shows. They never have. They'll upload like some videos that I've made, but they have a lot of other shills that they share, like the Nordfront people, which are, this person never called out their ties to Russian imperialism and all that shady stuff that was going on. They just continue to shill for Nordfront, but then they'll post Red Ice. And we've got Byron De La Vandal. It's like, ugh, God, you're an idiot. You're an idiot or you're nefarious. And I think there's a reason why he never posts my shows. Oh, JF Garapi is uploaded there. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. How could you listen to Renegade, agree with Renegade, and then be like, no, but I'm gonna still promote these people that Renegade exposes all the time? It's muddying the waters. That's what it is. Oh, and it looks like Raleigh Quaid got Charlie to go on Pedo Lovers Radio. So that's really great. Revisionmedia.org or whatever it is. Great. Ah, yes. And on to this Morpheus character who, at first when I was reading his articles, I thought, oh, yeah, like this guy's on the same page. But no, he's basically trying to insinuate now that Gerhard Lauck, the guy who has Zenser Frey, who Renegade is hosted on, or I don't even know what the terms are for this shit. Well, he's trying to imply that basically he's behind Daily Stormer and Red Ice. So, like, the person who's hosting our website is also behind DailyStormer.ai, which is not even their site. So, I just think, yeah, he sent me a screenshot that says there are 78 domains hosted on this server. The complete listing of these is below. So some of these, I don't even know if they're actually his, but it just says dailystormer.ai. I have no idea what this dude is trying to say, but he's basically making a threat that like he's gonna take Gerhard down, which would mean that our sites go down. So, interesting. Oh yeah, and he wrote this because he had said something on Gab about how it really hurts that you would insinuate that I'm not honest or that I'm a limited hangout because I thought we were friends. I said, dude, I don't even know who the hell you are. You're a random screen name on the frickin' internet. And I've been around the block a few times in these parts and I've learned not to trust anybody, especially a nameless, faceless nobody, okay? So he writes back, I hate being a faceless and nameless person on the internet, and your words have bothered me because of that. But I know what plausible deniability means. What the hell was that sound? I don't even know. Okay, that was my computer making a sound. I have just enough recognition to be important, but not enough to be important, you know? So here's the truth. My father was employed as a government security contractor for the Wacken Hut Security Group out of the Edwards Air Force Base in the Kern County, California, and the 53rd Evaluation Group of Nevada. He patrolled nuclear weapon reserves and black technology sites for the Nevada nuclear test site, even arresting Martin Sheen during a protest in the 80s. He was the officer in charge. Google Martin Sheen arrest Nevada nuclear test site. That was him. You know what? Let's go ahead and do that, 'cause let's look into this guy a little bit more. I mean, there's nothing about the person that arrested Martin Sheen. It's just all about him. So I don't know why this guy would even say these things. There's not pictures or anything, but okay. We'll read on here. Yeah, Google it, he says. Nothing came up. All right, then he says that was him. Later, after talking about what he had seen during his employment, he was killed in a car crash. PT's Pub in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is enough information for BAF to dox me and my family. Why does this guy talk like a poll bot all the time with the friggin' backslashes? Is Baph some kind of message board as well? Like Baphomet message board? What is this guy even talking about? It's just weird and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, okay, so I googled PT's Pub and there's like four of them in Las Vegas. This doesn't actually give me any information that would make me understand your point any further. Okay, so PT's Pub, if this is even the one, because there's so many of them, is like this big chain, I guess, that has PT's Pub, PT's Brewing, Sean Patrick's Pub and Grill. Like, I don't know. What are you trying to say? Your family owns this or something? Are you mafia? I don't really know what you're getting at here. All right, he goes on. He was killed after telling me about clandestine projects because he didn't agree with the ethics. That's how I learned about Israel and the corrupt United States government, the real New World Order and European replacement. It's actually genocide, you retard, but you know that. What is this even about? It goes on, and I will read more, but what is this? This just sounds like some bullshit trying to get me to believe him, that he's not a limited hangout. All right. Later, after his death, I began this career of OSINT. What? What? Is that like the same? What? Okay, now I need to Google that because I don't understand military acronyms. Okay, I guess it's not military. It's open source intelligence. It's data collected from publicly available sources to be used in an intelligence context. Okay. You're blogging, like, you're making it sound like you're doing way more important work, but okay. Okay, and he says he's doing this by exposing each agent playing his part. Richard Spencer, Patrick Little, et al. And now I have intelligence workers following me. See second and third picture. Every truther and schizo talks about Area 51. But what if that is a distraction from the media and intelligence community used to divert attention from G47 and other sites? I don't even know what that is. Let's look into it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, well, I can't even find anything about this. I don't know what it is. It doesn't seem to be too above ground or talked about, at least on the internet. All right, he says, I'm trying to stop what they are doing. Do you know? Some people may call that schizo, but it's real, backed by sources, and anyone with enough resources can dox me from what I've said as proof. I have no freaking interest in doxing you, nor, I think, does anybody, because they would have done it by now if you were actually a threat. But you're a limited hangout. That's what you are. I no longer care. I mean to expose everything in an exposing destroy. I don't even want to be a leader, as some have assumed. I want you all to see the enemy and to cripple him. You want other people to do the work. Oh, okay. This partial truth in it, I mean to expose the fullness later as much as possible, and I will. This is what I am, how I developed my skills. It's just, this sounds like a mood, like this is so dramatic. Like, dude, okay, you took the time to look into Pat Little. You did a good expose of him. And now you're afraid you're going to be killed? I mean, why haven't they killed me? Yet, they haven't. I mean, and this dude is really acting like, you know, they're gonna kill me. They're going to kill me for exposing Pat Little. Okay. Yeah, so he finishes up here. If you're on the wrong side of history, what do I care? I don't care. It happens soon regardless. Ooh, what does that mean? It happens soon regardless. That is what's behind the actions of the nameless and faceless one. So then he has a picture of some Greek police officer that follows his blog. And I guess that means that he's an intelligence person. It just says that he's a government military police lieutenant in Greece. So I don't really know what this dude is getting at whatsoever. It's really ridiculous. Ooh, that was thunder. Is it finally raining here? It hasn't rained in 2 weeks. Yay, it's raining. It's official. Okay, I'm happy about that. My garden was like dying. I had to water it twice a day just for it to survive. But it's all, everything's burnt to a crisp. Okay. But then I noticed that he is very pro Julian Assange. And that's interesting, right? This guy that exposes limited hangouts and shills. But, he, you know, he's cool. He calls Julian Assange the white wizard. Actually, there's a whole video which is in a limited state right now. So
might want to grab it before it gets taken down forever. But it's WikiLeaks fully exposed Israeli leaks. And maybe I will just play that video because it's an hour long at the end of this broadcast. I don't think I've seen it in a while, but I'm sure there's good information in there. So maybe I'll do that instead of trying to come up with another hour of stuff. Oh, yes. And also there was this RT interview with Julian Assange where it's pretty clear that he's a CGI Julian Assange. That is on the Tribune if you just search RT's interview with a CGI Julian Assange. It's pretty creepy. And just think about this whole WikiLeaks thing, right? Of course, there's going to be true stuff in there, but they conveniently don't expose Israel at all or Jews. Yeah, I also want to read you some good comments that were on the Tribune on that video that I will most likely play. Okay. Hold on. All right, this commenter says, did you notice how during the election campaign on the orange one, Juslime Assange would produce the mud on cue, every network giving him all the coverage necessary? The network's playing along, of course. Grr, ah, shakes fist, ah, you are such a troublemaker, revealing all these truths. As I look back, it's clear how the American mass media was portraying Trump as the outsider underdog for the people, along the lines of save our jobs, save your country, build the wall, keep the foreigners out, save your guns, etc. The so-called liberal media feigned shock and disappointment, fooling the poor sheeple that they had scored a coup. Trump played his part brilliantly. I think his foray into television was preparation for his presidential hopes. At some point in the election, I think Hillary realized that her masters were done with her. No. No. I don't know, but... all right. That Snordster guy who produced this video has been making some very good videos over the years. Of course, YouTube realized just how good and started taking them down, just like Sinead's brilliant songs. Love that. This is how they do. Okay. Someone else said, I knew it deep in... down and called this years ago when Guy Assange was being vilified by certain alphabet soup agencies. Wikipedia is another classic example. Who is it controlled by? Come on, people. If it's really too hard to grasp that controlled opposition has to have a grand entrance and maybe more importantly an exit as well, understand this. If it's being pushed beyond a reasonable limit, you use your gut instinct, if you have one, reason and logic, and think how would this play out in a good John Le Carre novel. It's ludicrous that those who know / suspect MSM of bending the truth of outright lying, trust what is being said by the supposed opposition, even though that opposition surfs the same waves and sucks on the same teat. Nothing being said by anyone should escape you once you connect your bullshit filter, and you do that through meditation and psychic awakening for your mind, and your ass will follow. Okay. WikiLeaks. I had my doubts about that. Interesting expose. Da, 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 da. Okay, this person. I couldn't be bothered to watch the video because I've seen it all before, but what confuses me the most is how the fucks have the kikes got away with their bullshit for so long. Because they cannot be exposed yet, they don't even need to have good lies. A tyranny simply needs to control thoughts, communications, and have the judges, the police, and the army on its side. The order is corrupt and vicious. This is what we're seeing today. With much irony, in such dire times, the greatest exposure, the most powerful light there is, does not come from above, but from below where it is entombed. What does that mean? Okay, then it just goes into like some big like philosophical thing. Jews cannot be attacked from above because right now there's just nothing above them we can use, so the resistance can only come from below, brewing and gnawing the weakening roots of the rotten howling tree. Since Jews have poisoned it, the black serpent helps us in fragmenting its roots. I'm getting like Satanist vibes. The once mighty tree is now sick and decaying, dripping with unhealthy dew that poisons the world. It cannot regenerate itself, so it is time, it has come, and it must be destroyed for a new one to grow in its place. That was so deep. Whoa. All right. In this time we are living in, where in the USA still has some semblance or very frail form of free speech, no, we don't, they have to counter by having as many BS artists as possible. Although this has long been a strategy on the political scene, long before the internet, one can see this in the dark mutterings of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, where it talks of having as many opposing views as possible so as to obscure the real issues, or words to that effect. A few months ago, I came across this character, Paul C. Roberts, a living fossil from the Reagan administration, complete with his dull little green sight where he dispenses his words of wisdom. Paul Craig Roberts. He was a high-level official who was big chums with Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski, a kosher Soviet plant, if ever there was one. Great credentials, yes? Yup, an internet freedom warrior, all along the lines of the CIA controls Europe, Vatican, blah, blah, blah. He never, ever used to mention The Chosen, but recently he started chatting about Israel in a very mild way. I think he knows his cover won't last for long. He now spins along the lines of, yeah, Trump is a good guy, but he can't do all these things because, oh, he's got such terrible opposition in the Congress, and so on. In other words, they know Trump will do fuck all for the whites of America as a kosher puppet, but he provides a screen for Trump to still operate as a lame duck, doing the will of the chosen, and not incur the wrath of the white American people who voted for this golden con artist. I think we will see the narrative being pushed by the mainstream media as well. It's their only good cover, really. Gee, sorry, folks. Democracy at woke, you know? Kosher democracy. Okay. Hollywood molded us into accepting that guys like Assange are the real deal, the highly intelligent, anti-establishment computer hacker warrior that goes against the mighty and corrupt government elite for the good of the people. Same with Anonymous, with all these Guy Fawkes masks. It's Hollywood. Simple as that. We want them to be real because we are programmed to do so. So it's not gullible. We have to fight our way through all these gatekeepers and false information. Nothing wrong with that. At least you fight. Then I lost my place. Look up the case of Carl Koch, Chaos Computer Club. It is interesting. Huh. Maybe I will, because it sounds like chaos magicians. Maybe I will. Oh, randomly going back to my first topic about the YouTube purge, apparently Varg and Vox and Steven Crowder, or wait, Varg was taken down, Crowder was taken down. Oh gosh, yeah. Watch, they'll be back up soon, or I don't even know. This is all just stupid.
All right, so it's a new day. I am rested, and I'm ready to roll. So last night, I had to just stop the recording because I was just dozing off in my chair. I was so tired. But I did some, peeking and poking around on the internet, and I found a few things that I wanted to talk about because it's just so absolutely ridiculous. And it just shows you how these Jews operate even further, in case you don't get it by now, okay? So I was on 153news.net, the site that I still cannot upload anything to. It makes no sense. I'm logged into my screen name. I click the upload button, upload video, and it goes nowhere. It just brings me to the homepage, which says, support free speech. It will die without you. Yeah, I'm trying to patreon.com/153news. Are you kidding me? They still have a Patreon? I mean, this is just ridiculous. So, yeah, they still have a Patreon, apparently. Yeah, it even goes to their damn Patreon. Oh, they get $535 a month. This should be proof enough that this is a limited hangout, that they're able to stay up on Patreon. And they have quite a large contribution, 53 patrons. So, you know, that should be enough to tell you. But yeah, I still can't upload. So I was just going through looking at what was being posted there. Obviously, there are going to be some good videos on there that expose some of these fake shootings and everything. But I found this one. Adam Green, Blockbuster, interview with Israeli News Live. Now, these Israeli News Live people, this team of little Jewlings, I think it might be like a husband and wife team. She looks quite Slavic or like part Russian, but we all know that there are so many Russian Jews that moved over to Israel, so, you know. But these people seem to be really making the rounds. I mean, we had Sophia Smallstorm on with them, now Adam Green, and just listening to this interview, it's just, wow. It really shows you the jujitsu that these Jews are doing right now. So they're like, all right, we have to expose ourselves, but we're only going to expose, like, Israel. Let's shine a light on Israel. Let's not let anybody else know that we control the entire world and that we are in control of every country, pretty much.
But no, let's just give the illusion that Israel's the problem. And then so these people like Israeli News Live are criticizing Israel and they're oh so critical of Bibi Netanyahu and all of this. And it just, ugh, it really pisses me off to see this Israeli News Live shill channel being, you know, they're still up on YouTube, no problem. Adam Green is still up on YouTube, no problem. But yet people like us are taken down relentlessly. There is no trace of any of our channels anymore. Kyle's last one was taken down. Mine have been down forever. We can't make new ones. And I love how they even wrote in an email to Kyle that you're never allowed back on YouTube ever again. It's not even, we just suspended your account and, you know, you were bad, you're in timeout. It's, you're never allowed on this platform ever again. I'm surprised we're actually able to access it to watch videos because it seems like they would just do that. They would be like, no, you can't watch videos on this because you're mean and we don't like you. So yeah, Israeli News Live. So Adam Greenstein basically just lets this Jew, this fellow Jew, because he's also a Jew, it's pretty damn obvious, just lets this Jew just talk for how long? How long is this stupid interview? Hour, 45 minutes. And during this interview, I had some timestamps, but I never wrote them down, and then my page closed out, so I don't have it saved anymore. But basically, the whole thing is that the Holocaust did happen. Adam doesn't challenge this guy whatsoever. The guy says, well, I have family who survived the Holocaust, so, you know, I know what it's like to really lose people. And, you know, there were other genocides too, not just the Jews. So again, classic limited hangout. People are going to say, oh, well, look, not all Jews are bad. This Israeli News Live guy, he's really trying to help our cause. He's trying to expose Satan Yahu. And, oh, he's really on our side. No, no, they're not. Why are these people allowed to stay up, but we're not? Well, maybe because they're Jews, first of all. And second of all, because they're furthering a Jewish agenda. Whether that be exposing, right, quote unquote, exposing Israel and some Jews, you know, being somewhat critical of fellow tribes members, that doesn't mean that they're on our side. This is very, very obvious what they're doing. And it's just disgusting that even this Adam Green guy is promoted all over 153news.net. He's still on YouTube. Why is this even over here? I thought this was for people that were relentlessly censored. You know, people that you cannot find on YouTube anymore. They've been gone for years. Down the memory hole. But no, this is cool. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of any other wonderful moments during this interview. Oh, yeah, it's great. This Jew, both of these Jews are now exposing the Noahide laws, okay? So, wow, no one's ever done that before. Kyle didn't do that, what, like 6 years ago? I remember he was doing the Noahide law shows when I was still pregnant with our son, who's 5. So, yeah, like 6 years ago, Kyle was talking about that. But no, you can't find that anywhere, can you? I mean, you can probably find it in the archives on Renegade, but you can't find anything on YouTube about it or 153news.net or BitChute. So, yeah, it's just crazy. So I wanted to cover that. And then I just went to this Israeli News Live Twitter, you know, because they're not censored from any platform. And their freaking cover photo is the Dome of the Rock and, like, the cityscape of, what is it, Jerusalem? I don't even understand. Some place in Israel, some, you know, stolen land. I get it confused. Is it Tel Aviv? Is it Jerusalem? I don't know. It's probably Jerusalem where the Dome of the Rock is. Who freaking cares? It's just Jew land where Jews are Jewing. And here is their explanation. We are a news organization dedicated to uncovering truth with a capital T. So pretty much that's Logos, okay? Because Logos equals truth. But Logos equals whatever Jews want you to think it is, which equals truth. Don't question it. Okay. Yeah, they're uncovering capital T truth in a world of capital global, capital B bias. Stephen Ben Nun, journalist and author covering the Middle East conflict. So just look at how Jewy this bio is. It's not a Middle East conflict. It's Jews killing Palestinians and stealing everybody's land and being terrorists. Not the Middle East conflict. Oh, it's just this conflict that's going on and we just wish it would end. You know, we don't understand why these Palestinians are throwing rocks at us every day when we shoot their babies and put porn on all the televisions. Why are they so angry?
So let's see what these Jew shills post on their Twitter. Oh, RT News, classic. The backup of online magazine. I don't even know what online magazine is, but it's probably gay. And he loves to post these like vegan things or like animal cruelty things. So there's this John Oberg. I'm just going to assume that's another Jew. Social media pro hashtag for the animals, activist, writer, animal protector. Donate to support my work for animals via Patreon. Yeah, I'm sure this guy's doing so much work for animals. But these Jews love to get in on the vegan animal cruelty thing because it gives them bonus points with people that have a soul. You know, people that actually have a conscience and a conscience and a soul, they will say, oh, wow, look, that person actually cares about animal cruelty, when they actually don't. You know, they're just baiting you. All right, what else have we got here? They retweet themselves, of course. More RT. Liam O'Neill. What is this guy all about? This is the real support for Trump that is being hidden by UK MSM from the British people. Those who do not use social media will only see their BS news. Brainwashing route one. And it's people protesting for Tommy Robbins. Yeah, another Jew. Amichai Stein, correspondent at Khan Diplomatic Desk, Israeli Public Broadcasting Corporation. We've got frickin' Israelis being put forth as these truth tellers in the truth community. It's enraging, and it's so frickin' obvious. So obvious. Okay, they also retweet Defend Europe, which uses this, it looks like the rook in chess, the rook piece, and then it's like, what could, if you connect the lines, could be a Jew star surrounding it. So another, you know, fake faux nationalist, as they say, which reminds me, I got to get into Dan Rayner, that psycho. Okay. Yes, this tweet says, is it any wonder French pro boxer Christophe Dettinger teamed up with the Gilets Jaunes to give Macron's thugs a beatdown? Yay, yellow vests, hashtag resistance. Gilets Jaunes, if you're not familiar, is just an obvious controlled revolution that's going on. Wow. So, of course, these people... Oh, black flag. Welcome to New Jersey, where the police dragged a peaceful woman at beach. Interesting what the public says. Okay. Oh, there's just so many Jews that this Jew is retweeting. Oh, Jake Morfonius, Israeli News Live retweeted. U.S. manufacturing gauge hits lowest level since Trump was elected. Yeah, so this Israeli News Live is if you're supporting these people, like, just fuck off because you're stupid or you're nefarious. I'm so shocked that someone like Sophia Smallstorm would go on there. But, you know, I'm never surprised anymore that people let people down or they turn out to be just fucking liars. It's pretty par for the course. So, yeah, I'm seeing who else they... Oh, Ariel Gold with Hebrew in the frickin' title of their Twitter. It's so strange how none of these Jews are banned from Twitter. Oh, revolution. Iranian ballistic missile launchers in Iraq, Syria aimed at Israel, Iraqi official... Okay. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous and disgusting. Okay, I think I'm done with Israeli News Live's Twitter because I'm going to have a heart attack. And it makes no sense why Sophia would go on with these pro-Israeli Jews to talk about 5G. Why the hell do they need to know about 5G? They don't have it in Israel. Hey guys, I'm here to talk to you about how the Jews are killing the Goyim with 5G. And I really think it would be good to talk to you two Jews about it. Because you guys don't have 5G. It's obviously a genocidal tactic from Jews to get rid of the Goyim. So I'm just here to educate you all about what 5G is. You know, since you're never going to experience it, since you're fucking Jews. I mean, really? Let's read the comments. No 5G in Israel. Odd. Israel is the least chemtrailed land on this planet. Odd. Is it odd or is it frickin' obvious? Is it duh? Duh. Oh, they wouldn't want to kill themselves. Duh. I love the cute pics you guys have been posting on your videos. Oh, I love you, Sister Jana. It doesn't matter in what format, be it in still form or traditional video, from both of you, a blessing. Abba Avinu's blessing. Oh, God. This is just like a cruel nightmare.
Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Please accept Jesus Christ as your savior now and ask for forgiveness for your sins. Jesus loves you so much. He loves you so much that you have to get down on your knees and beg for forgiveness.
What the hell is going on? Like, what was accomplished? But I don't know, maybe making some more sales, right? Getting some people to buy your shit? I'm just disgusted. I'm disgusted with all these fuckers.
These frickin' Jews have a show called Shabbat Live. Not Shabbat Night Live like Kyle and I made. Not that one. Shabbat Live. So first of all, aren't they not supposed to use electricity on Shabbat? These frickin' Jews are breaking their Jew laws. But come on. Like, and this dude looks as if he could be related to Jan Irving. Like his uncle or something. Really, though, it looks like he's part of the fam. Yeah, Shabbat Live. These are the kinds of people that we should talk to, you know? Because these guys are on our side. They love us. They love us so much. They just want free speech.
The best, too, is how these Jews are just going on about censorship and all of this. And, you know, obviously they're not censored. It's just painful.
All right, so moving on, I wanted to read an article by Colin that I thought was really interesting. And I'll give you some food for thought here because it's very insightful. So it's called The Dissociated Future and the Hive Mind Golem. A tell-all book from 1976 presents another way of seeing what's happened to us, the descent into a dissociated society. A choice of futures, a top Tavistock researcher, Fred Emery, together with his wife Marilyn, revealed studies on the effects of television, which they call a dissociative medium. And for the social engineers, dissociation is synonymous with schizophrenia. They write, there is no doubt in our minds that dissociation is the most probable negative scenario to arise from the telecommunications revolution. Dissociation means here withdrawing from who and what's around you right there into semi-reality or secondary reality, or now virtual reality. I came across this looking into eating disorders, as well as body and gender dysmorphia. Are these and many other disturbances of the mind and spirit just expressions of this predicted fracturing? I sense it's a piece of the puzzle, answering questions like why so many are super reactive, unable to make associations, seemingly happy to live vicariously through celebrities or fictional characters, or crowd out their own dreams with the increasingly nightmarish narratives of media culture. Here are a few notes and observations. Not so vigilant citizen. TV watching, the Emerists argue, creates an impoverished environment, one paradoxically of sensory deprivation. One reason is that the constant visual stimulus causes habituation, since the human mind is not designed to stay vigilant every 3 seconds to today's rapid-fire changes on the screen. The mind relaxes into a state likened to somnambulism or sleepwalking, not able to integrate what's seen. The Emerists write, the evidence is TV not only impairs the ability of the viewer to attend, but it also, by taking over a complex of direct and indirect neural pathways, decreases vigilance. The general state of arousal, which prepares the organism for action, should its attention be drawn to a specific stimulus. So it's just not the content that wraps around us, sometimes inducing a passive malaise, where it's hard to take purposeful action, but the medium itself. Reaction, reaction, reaction. Instead of acting, there's reacting, and I recently noticed tons of YouTube videos of just that, reacting. A toddler reacts to his own birth video, black men to Bohemian Rhapsody, and this surreal chain reaction of reaction, teens react to Billie Eilish reacts to teens react to Billie Eilish. Jeez. Social media, especially Facebook, seems based on this aspect of the dissociated society with its like button. It lets someone off the hook to respond with any depth or to add their own take based on personal thoughts and associations. From a choice of futures, it appears that within tens of seconds, the normal human brain ceases to critically reflect upon and analyze the incoming television message. Regardless of its content, the response is primarily attitudinal, like, not like. Archaic brain revival. With habituation to TV, the neocortex, new brain, right and left, are impaired, and the Emerists note, the old brain of Rhinencephalon comes out to play. The more animalistic or primitive old brain can potentially run wild without the guidance of the higher mind, conscience, reason, etc. And when there's tension from inaction, there can be aggression and impulse behavior. I think it's obvious that the media, particularly movies and TV shows, are exacerbating this with the content for a kind of psychic driving toward violence effect. Another way I see this archaic revival here is with the selfie and image is everything trend. The Emerists write that attributing the unusual degree of power to visual forms is a striking characteristic of primitive peoples and narcissists. The archaic revival seems to encourage self-identification and magic, not bound by nature's laws or cause and effect. But that doesn't faze generations brought up on magical television's fragmented reality or the illusion of reality. Writes the Emerist, the nature of the medium itself works to dissociate the holistic nature of the human brain, thereby creating the conditions under which an illusion of reality, a mythical world, can be developed and appreciated. Society of Lost Dreams. Does TV distort our dream time? Dream time. The Emerist concluded, yes, but most programming is conveyed in pre-digested common iconic forms. There is less to work over in dreams. They attributed the rise of hyperactivity to dream deprivation as well as sensory deprivation as children started clocking more hours in front of screens. And here I see how television was a kind of transition medium on the road to hive-mindedness. The Emerists write that the TV generation of the 1970s already had to work harder at connecting with each other because their phylogenetically older and more uniquely defining characteristics have been lost from awareness both to themselves and others by the technologically based process of dissociation. They write, we consider that the obvious conformity to each other, not to elders, of the young today is one dimension of this phenomenon. There is a general shapeless response which does not bear in any individual the stamp of unique personal vitality. Hive mind golem. The Emerists write that the TV generation has become subparts of collective and anonymous entity. I find this fascinating because I felt a kind of subsuming of the uniqueness of our family and each of us individually into an artificial but somehow compelling secondary reality of the box in the living room. Just as all financial energy is siphoned off by the parasite, now the psychic energy and uniqueness, even soul purpose, is threatened by so many traps, spells, and blinders. Sean Parker, a former Facebook creator, divulged that the platform exploits human vulnerability to steal your time and attention. But is there a spiritual possession being attempted here too? Thomas Sheridan talks about this in a video on how Facebook's all-neutral interface is creating a dissociation in everyone's mind. I think that guy is freaking psycho. But okay, we'll go on. Everyone's mind who are sharing emotional feelings and emotional behaviors. It's creating the AI interface version of you to replace the real version of you. Okay. He theorizes that they are manipulating the future by staying one beat ahead from data mined, not from your timeline, but from private messages and groups, your real self. Interesting. Manipulating the knowledge stock. The Emerists write of the manipulation of knowledge stock, censorship, and in just a few months, this old book has gone from under $5 in March to around $100 now. I suspect some of the studies are linked to MKUltra or emerged from the Macy Conference. Its original name was Cognitive Inhibition. I see how the victors' post-war agenda was to fragment our societies down to our minds while reserving for themselves the study of the whole systems, cybernetics, and systems thinking. One weakness of the 1984 scenario, wrote the Emerists, was the manipulation of the knowledge stock. Will conflict inevitably with the current understandings of the common man, which lead him to a suspicion and contempt of technocrats, academics, and governments. And that some people could even go beyond reacting to creating their own content. Of course, now we see open censorship because they lost control of the narrative. A holistic future. In closing, I'll say I remember a few years ago there was talk of a breakaway space civilization, and lately I've thought of one based on coherence and the healing of the mind back to wholeness. The highest human expression comes from a holistic exchange between all parts of the mind so that new associations can form and we can grow and take action to solve our problems. Just as many of our unique cultures have been lost, so too are our inner worlds threatened. It seems by the threat of dissociation, being pulled into artificial worlds that see our precious uniqueness as energy to be harvested and steered. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Very, very interesting. And I will most likely read the comments later, but I've got to get ready for the day. Okay, so I'm going to read these comments from Colwyn's article. I am back at my computer. But after that, I'm just going to play that Julian Assange Israeli connection expose. I apologize. I'm having bullshit fatigue this week. I mean, it is a new day. I'm technically rested, but I just talking right now is taking way too much energy. I'm so sick of just even looking at the computer because it's all the same shit. It's getting really old. It was old a long time ago. So I just feel kind of like I'm spinning my wheels. And I don't really have much more wheels to go. So, okay. Here are the comments. What an excellent article. It definitely seems to be the most common battle most people, including myself, find themselves in. That of limiting time in front of a screen and getting outside. I find more screen time definitely saps creative energy unless the screen is being used for creating. That is a nice counter to this. I agree. All these movies and video games being created by today's top artists are spectacular, but definitely seem to foster most not to create themselves. Yeah, definitely. And it's super hard when you have a child, too. Like, if you have to get stuff done, it's really convenient and nice to maybe put on an educational video or, you know, they can play a little game, but I mean, it's like, I mean, I guess I could be a better parent and not let my child have any screen time at all, but it's just not freaking realistic because you go out in public and there's screens everywhere. And what are you going to be like? No, don't look at them. Ugh, it's like stand in front of the 20 screens. So I think it's just teaching them like to how to use this stuff. And plus they see me on my computer. So I can't be a hypocrite like, oh, don't go on screens. I'm just going to sit here and do work on my computer. You know what I mean? So I just feel frustrated with that. It's really hard to be a good parent in this fucked up world. Oh my God, why am I so emotional? This is why I don't want to turn on my phone, because I'm just frustrated today. Yeah, this is why. I can't really talk any further, because I'm just going to cry the whole time, and no one wants to hear that. Just a lot of stuff. Okay. Let me gather myself and we'll continue here. Okay. Colin says, thank you. Yes, it's all spectacular. And then there's the entertainment and no neurological effects. I see how it's a loop that drains the real self of its potential to be spectacular. So then in comparison, the virtual or media culture seems more real, more vital. Then you end up with people referencing shows and movies at family reunions. Oh, yes, that happens all the time. Not that I actually have family reunions, but just anytime I'm out in public. People will even ask us, did you take your kid to see this movie or that movie? And we just say, no. Oh, why not? It's like we're depriving them, you know, like we're bad parents because we don't bring them to see the Power Rangers movie or Aladdin. All right, then you end up with people, yes, something profound is lost. It also seems another Abrahamic heaven to separate us from the groves and the natural world in general. Yes, someone says, Hollywood is not so popular anymore. That might be kind of true, but that's not like no one's consuming Jewish media anymore, you know? Like, they are. And I love Colwyn's reply. She says, I know people don't go to the theaters anymore hardly, but now it's Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, Stars, etc. for a more atomized streaming experience with the agenda intensifying. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I'm guilty of it too. I watch Netflix. Usually not really for entertainment purposes, but I guess it still would constitute being entertained because I'm watching something, but usually to kind of analyze what is being put out there, seeing what is fake and what's being put forth as real. And when I have more energy and I'm not like crying every sentence I say, I don't even know where this came from. I'm just having a hard day. But I will get into that in the future about this show Jailbirds that I watched the first season of and how I think that it's not actually real or, you know, reality TV, which is always scripted to some extent. And it's just also weird. I think I mentioned it on a past show that they've just got these shows in prisons now, like reality shows. And I think it's just normalizing prison life. Look, you can still have fun and be famous if you're in prison. Okay, then this commenter said, Wow, you really knocked it out of the park with this article. Thank you. I just wanted to offer a little background to what Colwyn is saying here so that this information might resonate with a few more individuals. The Tavistock Clinic/Institute of Social Engineering was created during World War I by the intelligence agencies to study shell shock, or what we now call PTSD. Basically, they wanted to find out how to stun the public into a dazed and impotent state. I'd say they figured it out. This led directly to MKUltra and SRI, Stanford Research Institute, to continue this research into how to mold the public into meat golems. This agenda is laid out in a book entitled Changing Images of Man, Burning Man. We have to conclude here that the intelligence agencies / secret societies of at least the USA, Britain, and Israel are coordinated and are working to undermine their own citizens. This is a very difficult thing for most people to come to terms with. Yeah, it is. I think that's why we're so far gone, is because you can show a lot of people and they just, their brains explode. They can't handle it. That's something that I've been wondering about. You know, why are we, people listening right now and people doing shows at Renegade, why are we able to see through it? Why? And I'm not saying the programming didn't work on us, because it sure did. And I'm sure there are still things that I don't even realize I'm doing that, you know, I've been programmed to do. But, like, why is it a certain person that can snap out of it pretty quickly, or someone that, you know, grew up watching TV and being babysat by the TV, which I sure was, how can we just, like, snap out of it one day? That shows me that the mind control, it's powerful, right? But as soon as it's, like, it's shown, as soon as the magic trick is revealed, you can really unravel a lot of it. It happens really quickly. Just in my own awakening, I hate even using that term, but in my own process of learning the truth, once I really saw that there was another option, that it wasn't left or right, you can go up, I was like, hell yeah, take this baggage off of me, like take all this terrible programming off of me. But again, I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm some amazing person, because, you know, like I said, I'm sure there's stuff I'm still doing that I'm not even conscious of, and I don't want to pass those things down to my child. Okay, so going on here, there's a war going on in between us, and my side is not going to lose. SRI now works with Google, Facebook, and big Silicon Valley players. The excellent video link provided here discusses the book Strange Frequencies by Peter Bergal, who lays out this agenda of using technology to manufacture the public into golems. In my opinion, this ties all the way back to the Testament of Solomon, which describes how Solomon is bestowed a ring that allows him to become invisible, Lord of the Rings, Ring of the Nibelung, I don't know what that is, and conjure up demons to do his dirty work for him. This might be the basis of the Crusades to excavate Solomon's temple and unleash this black magic on the world. My opinion is that this grimoire is the true lost Ark of the Covenant. Colwyn says, thank you. Great comment with info I want to know more about, especially last paragraph. This was challenging for me to put into coherence, and I know there's more to discover. Changing Images of Man, Lowest in 300 Range on Amazon is another book they're pricing out of reach. They do that all the time. They did that with that Lana Cantrell book a long time ago. I need to revisit it. I don't know if it's actually worth reading, but I remember it being so expensive. But I like printed out an ebook of it, and it was like 1,000 pages. That was the dumbest thing I ever did. And the pages were all disorganized, and I don't think I ever read the damn thing. But it's interesting information. She proposes that we're actually not supposed to menstruate. I'm not saying, you know, go anorexic and stop menstruating, but it's like it's a symptom of, you know, modern world and all that, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what I think about that, but there were some interesting, you know, controversial things that were covered in that book. But yeah, she just talks about how they're pricing out a lot of these books. And obviously that's going to make it so they're, you know, not fully censored, but no one can afford them. So yeah. Then someone says, PTSD is a smokescreen used by feds and elites to cover up the true deadly effects of Agent Orange and dioxin and depleted uranium and how they affect brain's functions and change serotonin levels and dopamine levels to cause crazy, bizarre behaviors. I'm sure that's true, but PTSD is definitely a real thing. And, you know, people that experience war are going to experience PTSD, or people that experience traumas in their life are going to most likely experience PTSD. So I wouldn't just say that it doesn't exist, but yeah, what a perfect cover for them to just say, oh, you just had PTSD, you know, Gulf War syndrome. Oh, it must just be PTSD, not the vaccines that we gave them or the chemicals they were exposed to. Okay, thousands upon thousands of vets from Nominee, Iraq, Afghan were poisoned by these deadly poisons. Most vet groups, and I mean most, plus VA hospitals are all geared around this PTSD garbage. Again, I don't think it's garbage, but yes, they could use that to cover up other symptoms. The combat is not the cause why many vets went crazy and did crazy things to end up in prisons. I think that's really foolish to say that. That I'm sure this is all a compounding effect. It's not like people can see the things that they've seen and then come back and be totally cool with it. And it's just the chemicals that are making them kill themselves. You know? I believe they can use frequencies to mess with your mind. Of course they can. They already do that. Maybe the tinfoil hat or special helmet and suit made with special fabric is the only protection from this. Now, I think you're just, I don't know, trying to sound crazy. But whatever. Yeah, they go on, you know. Again, I have such fatigue. I have, like, information fatigue. Because it's just, every time I look, it's just more bullshit. It's more bullshit. Same bullshit, different day. And, you know, we're just totally pushed out of the conversation, so it just kills me. Kills me that I can't record anything, I can't make songs, I can't make videos, I can't even join the conversation, and I'm getting frustrated. And I keep crying, I don't know, God, I guess I've been bottling things up, and like when I talk about it, I just start to go all teary. Okay, let's finish this up so I can, you know, stop crying, and then I'll play you guys Julian Assange. Well, not him, but the expose. And I will have something better soon. I wasn't even going to put anything out today because I just feel like this show is just going to suck. It's a mess. I'm a mess. The show is a mess. But, you know, whatever. I'll be real with you guys and I'll just put something out so you at least can listen. Yeah. So I think those are the only comments that really had, you know, things that I didn't really know. So, you know, some additional information. So, yeah, guys, thank you for listening and thanks for your support. I will be back soon and check out heathenherbs.com. I'm going to be formulating some new things soon. I'm thinking about doing a beard oil. Just been busy with other stuff, so I should be able to get to that soon. All right, thanks for listening. Good night.
I'm untouchable now with this company. Untouchable.
Disinformation is defined as misinformation that is deliberately disseminated in order to influence or confuse rivals. It is used by governments to mislead and brainwash their citizen populations, instigate wars, and blackmail foreign regimes. It is the ultimate instrument of the media. The most effective disinformation is that which is comprised of falsehood as well as facts. WikiLeaks, founded by Julian Assange, fits this description perfectly, right down to the letter. Seemingly overnight, it has become one of the biggest whistleblowing agencies in modern history. In reality, though, it is one of the biggest disinformation projects in modern history, and it may be the most dangerous because it is masquerading as an organization of truth. The information released by WikiLeaks isn't new. It isn't groundbreaking. It doesn't hurt the US as much as people think. It's fractional, really. And it is overloaded with as much propaganda as the day-to-day Zionist media is. This propaganda is benefiting someone. And that someone is the illegal, usurping entity of Israel. Even the Israeli government itself thinks so.
Talked a little bit about this earlier. I mean, your desired outcome from the leaking of this information is presumably, as you said, that world leaders and officials would say the same things in public that they say in private. You know, lots and lots of people would regard that as naive, in part because they, in their own lives, don't say the same things in public that they say in private. And is that the outcome that you would like, and how do you respond to the charge that that's a naive view of the way the world works?
Well, I was quoting Netanyahu, who was certainly not a naive man.
But the effect, by the way, Mr. Assange, for Netanyahu is that what he's been saying publicly, i.e. that Arab leaders have privately been saying that Iran is the greatest threat and they want Israel and the U.S. to do something, the revelations have been in his interest.
Well, of course, you know, I mean, they were talking about a sophisticated politician who is that sensitive and is on the side in this issue. But I suggest it is generally, of course, there are exceptions, but generally across every issue, where we are negotiating, we need to be able to negotiate with a clear understanding of what the ground is and what our mutual positions are. Of course, if one side has a disproportionate amount of knowledge compared to the other side, there cannot be proper negotiations or proper understanding of the playing field in which these events are to happen.
The first major leak released earlier this year by Assange was about occupied Afghanistan in the form of more than 92,000 documents. These documents included secret files about civilian killings by the US and NATO, along with the boogeyman stories about the long-dead Osama bin Laden, garbage regarding the Taliban acquiring ground-to-air missiles, and plenty of lies about Pakistan's intelligence agency, the ISI. There wasn't a single document about the Israeli training of the Taliban, the massive drug profiteering by the Mossad, the CIA, and the U.S. puppet Hamid Karzai and his brother, Karzai's connections to UNIKEL and Zionist war criminal Henry Kissinger, the clandestine Israeli business operations set up to take control of the oil fields in neighboring Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and Kazakhstan, or the Russian Jewish mafia, fully protected by the Zionist entity, selling guns to U.S.-backed Afghan warlords. But weren't any of these massively important, critically damning events and operations mentioned? Because in doing so, it would incriminate the already internationally condemned Zionist regime. Journalists, bloggers, and activists from occupied Afghanistan and abroad have been reporting on the vast civilian casualties in Afghanistan since U.S. intervention began more than 30 years ago. WikiLeaks revealed nothing that wasn't already known. However, it did reinforce Zionist propaganda regarding the illegal war on terror. The next major leak by Assange's organization, which has gained more notoriety than the previous leak, was about occupied Iraq in the form of nearly 400,000 documents. Like the occupied Afghanistan and disinformation, it included secret files about mass civilian killings by U.S. forces, torture by war criminal Nouri al-Maliki and his forces, which according to WikiLeaks, U.S. military officials attempted to halt, U.S. government failings in reprimanding Blackwater XE for committing murder, and brutal executions by the American and British occupiers, mixed with more tripe about fictitious Al-Qaeda, nonsense about Iran training militant Iraqi militias and Iranian drones flying over Iraq, Iran smuggling guns, munitions, and explosives into Iraq, ridiculous accusations of the Lebanese resistance movement's Hezbollah training Iraqis in the art of kidnapping, slanderous attacks on Iran's Revolutionary Guard, and other absurd assertions about the Islamic Republic involved in the murder of innocent Iraqis. The WikiLeaks Iraq war logs also reveal civilian casualties numbered at 66,081. The logs also reveal that Iraqi WMDs actually did exist, as U.S. soldiers found chemical weapon labs, terrorist toxin specialists, and chemical weapons caches. There was nothing secret about American and British forces murdering, torturing, and raping innocents in occupied Iraq. Like Afghanistan, Iraqi and international journalists, bloggers, and activists have been reporting the murder of civilians in Iraq since the beginning of the illegal occupation, with much more effectiveness than WikiLeaks. The US military didn't attempt to halt the puppet al-Maliki's torture of unlawfully imprisoned Iraqis. They partook in it. They led the way after they signed off on it. They were the primary perpetrators. Secret prisons are still operating at this very moment where U.S. forces barbarously torture innocent Iraqis. The U.S. hired Blackwater's contracts to instill fear and execute terrorism against the people of Iraq. Of course, it didn't reprimand them. Eric Prince's private army of terror was only doing what it was told by the U.S. government. The concept of Hezbollah training foreign militias to meddle in state affairs is absolute lunacy. Syed Hassan Nasrallah himself has stated on numerous occasions that if Hezbollah wanted to overthrow the Lebanese government, they would have done so already. Their objectives, as evidenced by their actions, are to protect the Lebanese people, provide them with security, and uphold their dignity. Hezbollah hasn't undermined its own government. It is asinine to think it would undermine the government of another nation. The propaganda targeting Iran is pathetic. There are enough guns in Iraq, thanks to American support of Saddam Hussein, to last lifetimes. There was no need for Iran to provide weapons to Iraqi militias through smuggling. The only drones that were flying in Iraqi skies belonged to the repulsive Zionist entity, not Iran. The other accusations sound like concoctions dug up from the dungeons of Zionist think tanks and lobby organizations salivating for the destruction of the Islamic Republic, not the work of whistleblowers attempting to expose corruption and disseminate truth. These accusations further the Zionist case for striking Iran militarily. These accusations are promoting more war, not peace. WikiLeaks must not have gotten a memo about civilian casualties in occupied Iraq. There were nowhere near 66,081. They have eclipsed the 1.5 million mark. Anything less than this, especially a number as low as the one presented by WikiLeaks, is classic misreporting aimed at protecting the United States government and its collaborators. This is an insult to the 5 million Iraqi orphans and the 5 million Iraqi refugees. It is a slap in the face to the dead Iraqis whose names will never be known because they were incinerated by U.S. and Israeli weaponry. And the notion that U.S. soldiers found WMDs in Iraq after the Iraq has WMDs myth had been debunked as Zionist-designed propaganda over and over again is frankly infuriating. The only WMDs that exist in Iraq are the Mark 77, white phosphorus, and thousands of tons of depleted uranium used in Basra, Baghdad, and Fallujah in the terrorist army of the U.S. and strategically placed Mossad agents of Israel. Where are the leaks on the 55 Zionist companies profiting from Iraqi blood being spilled? Where are the leaks on Iraq's artifacts being stolen by Zionist agents? Where are the leaks on hundreds of Mossad agents operating in Mosul? Where are the leaks on the Mossad bomb-making facility in Kirkuk? Where are the leaks on the Mossad murderers stationed in several villages around the devastated area of Fallujah? Where are the leaks on the depleted uranium-tipped IEDs of Zionist-owned Zapata Engineering that have massacred thousands in Najaf, Karbala, and Tal Afar, just to name a few? Where are the leaks on the Israeli arms dealers supplying weapons to CIA-trained death squads? Where are the leaks on Zionist war criminal Paul Wolfowitz importing Shin Bet torture experts to train the U.S. military? Where are the leaks on Mossad conducting interrogations and torture in Iraqi jails, including Abu Ghraib? Where are the leaks that will actually tie the illegal war, which is exclusively designed by Zionists, to Israel? They don't exist, because WikiLeaks isn't concerned with uncovering the truth regarding the real criminals. They're concerned with leading the public away from the truth to keep them under control. It's COINTELPRO all over again. The target of WikiLeaks' first release was the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. The objectives of the operation was to give credibility to war criminal Obama's illegal drone strikes that have murdered over 1,000 civilians, raise the possibility of a future overt occupation, and cover up the meddling of Israel in occupied Afghanistan. It is vital to note that the destabilization of Pakistan has been a Zionist objective since the declaration of al-Nakba architect David Ben-Gurion. The target of WikiLeaks' second release was the Islamic Republic of Iran. The objective of this operation was to slander two of the very few entities on earth resisting Israel, Hezbollah and Iran, as well as cover up the Zionist fingerprints all over the mutilation of Iraq. the IAEA has already inadvertently foiled the Zionist plan to attack Iran based on the nuclear premise, confirming that the Iranian nuclear program is peaceful in nature and has nothing to do with weaponization. The Zionist Hasbara experts needed to try something new. Through WikiLeaks, the accusations of Zionist Bush administration against Iran have resurfaced under the guise of whistleblowing. It's a sham. A final note needs to be made about Julian Assange, the man who has been praised as a freedom fighter, a revolutionary, and a friend of the oppressed people. In a recent interview, he stated, "I'm constantly annoyed that people are distracted by false conspiracies such as 9/11, when all around we provide evidence of real conspiracies for war or mass financial fraud. It's shameful that Assange is annoyed by those seeking truth regarding the reason 1.5 million innocents are dead in occupied Iraq, 1.2 million innocents are dead in occupied Afghanistan, and thousands more innocent men, women and children are dead in occupied Palestine, Lebanon, Pakistan, Yemen and Somalia. 9/11 is anything but a false conspiracy. There is overwhelming evidence that American and Israeli officials didn't just have foreknowledge of the event, but planned the attack and carried it out. It was a Mossad CIA false flag used to protect the Zionist entity from any future military threat and expand the parasitic hegemony of the US and the illegitimate Tel Aviv regime throughout the world by the Zionist-inspired war and terror. Someone insulting the seekers of 9/11 truth, slandering the righteous movement of Hezbollah, spreading propaganda about Iran, which adds to the demonization campaign levied against the Islamic Republic by the Zionist lobby and the Zionist media, and deliberately leaving out Israeli crimes in occupied Afghanistan and Iraq, is no freedom fighter. Such a person is a liar and a propagandist." WikiLeaks' most recent leak about occupied Iraq was delivered to several mainstream news outlets, including Al Jazeera, the Zionist New York Times, Der Spiegel of Germany, which has smeared Hezbollah in the past by despicably accusing the resistance of selling narcotics, Zionist-controlled Le Monde of France, which has also smeared Hezbollah recently, and The Guardian of the UK, in packages, as if it was some sort of gift for a holiday.
For the first time in WikiLeaks history, he has pulled in some mainstream media heavyweights to collaborate in preparing material.
So where are we heading now?
Off to the bunker in The Guardian.
But what's in the bunker? What's happening in the bunker? Yeah.
In the bunker we have our team from Guardian, us, the Spiegel and New York Times was there, but they've gone back home. We have a really quite horrible airless room filled with computers, but at least it doesn't have anyone else in.
In a secure room in The Guardian, teams of researchers and journalists from three publications are working their way through the material.
Anything they want to do the whole hour with a panel, someone from Homeland Security, Gates, maybe Ellsberg.
That'd be a fantastic panel.
It would be
Gates, Ellsberg and me.
Afghanistan bombshell, leaked documents ripped the lid off the war. The man whose website, WikiLeaks, published the classified documents for the world to see is here. It's all next on Larry King Live.
Julian, you said that these leaked documents contain evidence of war crimes by United States forces. What kind of evidence?
In the end, it will take a court to really look at the full range of evidence to decide if a crime has occurred. Then we see events like a Polish Mila that has a...
It's about Julian.
Two with you on the front. The Guardian has it all again.
The front page and...
Is that the Times?
Yeah.
My God, look.
Another double page spread. And then you've got, I mean, you've got your own banner at the top of the three pages in the Times.
Happy?
That worked yesterday.
It is.
I'm untouchable now with this company.
Untouchable?
This isn't a leak. This isn't an expose. This is a press release. This is a media spectacle. This is a circus to cover up the real crimes. Those interested in seeing a real leak, in addition to real courage, should read the story of Mordecai Vanunu, who blew the whistle on Israel's nuclear program and has spent the last 26 years in and out of Israel's inhumane prisons, including 18 years consecutively with 11 of those years in solitary confinement. Iraq was annihilated for the Zionist regime, as was Afghanistan. When discussing the destruction of these nations and the murder of millions of their people, it is integral to the understanding of the crimes committed to discuss the Israeli role in these crimes. Any person or institution failing to do so is ignorant, a coward, or a collaborationist. None of these persons have any place in the movement to restore the occupied lands to the indigenous people and bring their tormentors to justice. By supporting WikiLeaks, you are not fighting the occupier, you are not honoring the martyrs, you are not combating imperialism, and you are not striking back at the oppressor. You are supporting Israel and the cover-up of the activities of its criminal networks. WikiLeaks is Zionist poison. Wake up.
WikiLeaks is supposed to have this upstanding that it doesn't report what other people report. It only reports brand new things. But when we look in aspects to, say, 9/11 or Israel, it has never released a single document that hasn't already been available, or that the document released doesn't actually accumulate to any true discovery or unveiling or anything like that. So it does accuse Israel. It just doesn't do it in a manner which has any effect on its political status or its world status or anything else like that, because it's already information that's already out there. So it's not causing a huff and a puff. And it's very strange that a whistleblowing outlet, as it calls itself, only releases information that's already been released on this one topic.
And that's only with topics related to Israel or possible implications with Israel, right?
Yeah, you got it.
Like 9/11, WikiLeaks has been singularly good for Israel. Asked on the night of September 11, 2001, what the terrorist attacks meant for U.S.-Israel relations, Benjamin Netanyahu, the then former prime minister, tactlessly but accurately replied, "It's very good." And on the day after WikiLeaks' publication of U.S. diplomatic cables, Netanyahu strode into a press conference at the Israeli Journalists Association, looking undoubtedly delighted with the group's latest embarrassment of U.S. President Barack Obama.
Israel is preparing to build 800 new units in the sprawling West Bank settlement of Ariel. The news comes only a day after Tel Aviv gave the go-ahead with the construction of 1,300 other units in the heavily Palestinian-populated East Jerusalem Al-Quds. The latest settlement construction has drawn international criticism for undermining the U.S.-brokered talks between Tel Aviv and the Palestinian Authority.
Thanks to WikiLeaks, Alof Ben wrote in Haaretz, there is now no fear Washington will exert heavy pressure on Israel to freeze settlement construction or to accelerate negotiations on a withdrawal from the territories. Instead, also courtesy of WikiLeaks, the world's attention has been shifted exactly where a vindicated Netanyahu wanted it, towards Iran's non-existent nuclear weapons program. Our region has been hostage to a narrative that is the result of 60 years of propaganda which points Israel as the greatest threat, Netanyahu told the assembled journalists. In reality, leaders understand that the view is bankrupt. For the first time in history, there is agreement that Iran is the threat. While there is considerable dispute about the extent to which Arab leaders share Netanyahu's understanding of the Iranian threat, the Arab public overwhelmingly considers Israel to be a far greater threat. Nevertheless, according to Haaretz columnist Ari Shavit, Julian Assange has shattered the accepted dogma on the understanding in the Middle East in the 21st century. WikiLeaks' Claude Shavit proved that Israel's occupation and colonization of Palestine was not the main cause of instability in the Middle East. Instead, the secret cables revealed that the entire Arab world is concerned about one problem only: Iran, Iran, Iran. Thus, Shavit concluded, the only way to bring peace to the region was to deal with Iran first. Strangely, the WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange seems to accept the Israeli version of war is peace in the Middle East. In an interview with Time magazine, Assange singled out Netanyahu as an example of a world leader who believed the publication of Arab leaders' provocative, privately expressed comments will lead to some kind of increase in the peace process in the Middle East, and particularly in relation with Iran. Even more puzzling, Assange had an op-ed piece in Rupert Murdoch's The Australian, in which he quoted something the media mogul had written in 1958. In the race between secrecy and truth, it seems inevitable that truth will always win. In choosing another pro-Israel apologist as a model of transparency, is it possible that Assange is ignorant of the key role played by Murdoch's media empire in propagating the lies that led the New York Times to dub the war in Iraq as Mr. Murdoch's war? Assange seems equally oblivious to the significant contribution made by the New York Times itself to the war, whose conduct he now claims to oppose. On September the 8th, 2002, the paper of record led with a front-page story by Judith Miller and Michael Gordon, which falsely claimed that Saddam Hussein was seeking to buy aluminium tubes as part of its worldwide hunt for materials to make an atomic bomb. As Michael Massing later wrote, in the following months, the tubes would become a key prop in the administration's case for war, and the Times played a critical part in legitimizing it. Chosen by Assange to publish its leaked documents because it is one of the best newspapers in the world for investigative research, the pro-Israel Times is now busily spinning the leaks to push America into an equally unnecessary but even more disastrous war with Iran. Given that the WikiLeaks revelations have been such an unexpected diplomatic coup for Israel, its American lobby appears to be strangely divided over the issue. On one side, there are those like David Frum, Jeffrey Goldberg, and Michael Ledeen who delight in being able henceforth to cloak their incessant Iran warmongering behind a specious Arab cover. Those who suggest that it's some Israel lobby or Jewish cabal that is driving the confrontation with Iran should be embarrassed by the leaks, writes Frum. WikiLeaks confirms that the region's Arab governments express even more anxiety than Israel about the Iranian nuclear weapons program. Meanwhile, the most virulent attacks on WikiLeaks have come from some of Israel's staunchest supporters. William Kristol, editor of Rupert Murdoch's Weekly Standard, wants Congress to enable Obama to whack WikiLeaks. Dianne Feinstein, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and Joe Lieberman, chairman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, appear only too willing to oblige. Both senators have called for the prosecution of Assange under the 1917 Espionage Act. Feinstein is also working with Senator Charles Schumer on media legislation that would allow the prosecution of organizations like WikiLeaks.
The United States has repeatedly spoken out against China and its censorship of the internet, but it looks like the latest WikiLeaks release could lead to similar action happening to internet here in the United States. And according to a report, the Obama administration may introduce a bill that would allow law enforcement to spy on internet communications through emails and social networking websites. So will WikiLeaks lead to a new Patriot Act for the internet?
How do we reconcile the Israel's lobby apparently schizophrenic reaction to WikiLeaks? Could it be that Julian Assange has killed two birds for Israel with one document dump? Thanks to WikiLeaks, the well-publicized remarks of a few Arab leaders provide much-needed cover for pro-Israelis as they relentlessly press America to whack Iran.
Is there reason for us to adjust the law to hold news organizations that distribute stolen classified material liable for a violation of the law? I understand this is a First Amendment. It's very sensitive stuff. We have to balance the rights of a free press against the national security interest of our country. But this case, I think, calls on us to have a thoughtful discussion of that and see whether we want to amend the law to protect ourselves better in the next case.
At the same time, the disclosure of U.S. diplomatic secrets has given the likes of Joe Lieberman another excuse to kill the Internet, to prevent Americans from ever finding out how they got into such a mess in the Middle East. But just like 9-1-1, no matter how much WikiLeaks has benefited Israel, most observers still seem loath to consider the Tel Aviv connection.
Some of the articles we've already put, it talks about in clear detail publicly that Julian Assange was not just looking for the backing of the regular kind of donors that the independent media looks for, but he was looking for governments, he was looking for banks, he was looking for private think tanks, he was looking for propaganda agencies to fund him and get his operation on the go. I don't see why it would change any point from here.
And
to
another
there.
Article that we had covered on our site is that Julian Assange, when he was suspiciously arrested, was bailed by none other than a Rothschild banker affiliate.
Yeah, you got it. Like, a direct member of the family. And has even openly acknowledged on the news that he has collaborated with Israel in the past about what he should report and what he should not report.
Right, and then you had WikiLeaks attacking the number one competitor, or one of the largest competitors of the Rothschild Bank, being Julius Baer. Yeah, Julius Baer.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a conflict of interest kind of a thing to consider WikiLeaks to be completely independent at that point.
On January 17, 2011, Assange held a press conference at the Frontline Club where Rudolf Elmer, a former employee of Bank Julius Baer, gave Assange private files from the bank's Cayman Islands operation. Elmer said he wanted to expose mass tax evasion before he flies back to Switzerland to stand trial for stealing information from a bank. Although Elmer has not named the tax evaders, he claims the CD files contain information about 40 politicians, many business people, multinational conglomerates, and people who have made their living in the arts. Assange's press conference was actually a public threat to Bank Julius Baer. WikiLeaks first disclosed some of Elmer's Julius Baer material in 2008, naming 10 clients. At the time, Julius Baer sued and got a court injunction to effectively shut down WikiLeaks.org at its web host in California. Subsequently, the law firm Fox Rothschild represented WikiLeaks, got the injunction overturned, and got WikiLeaks.org back online. Immediately, WL commenced leaking more of Elmer's documents, which was damaging to Bank Julius Baer. Bank JB got a lot of negative publicity from its attempt to censor the internet. When JB lost the suit, their super elite clients became fearful of being exposed and prosecuted for tax evasion and money laundering. Julius Baer shares dropped 60% during the next 10 months. On December 4, 2008, the 52-year-old CEO of Julius Baer, Alex Widmer, was unexpectedly found dead. He was the most important person in private banking, said a Zurich-based trader. This is a setback for the bank, Julius Baer, a Swiss trading analyst said. Reports of the cause of death were contradictory and vague, and an autopsy was never released. The recent imprisonment of WikiLeaks' Julian Assange strains credibility. His arrest by Interpol, his incarceration under draconian conditions for breaking a condom are in themselves highly unlikely events, but the timing of his imprisonment with the release of classified U.S. cables and the campaign against WikiLeaks funding and website host bear the trademarks of a covert operation. A sister-in-law and second cousin of the Rothschilds posted bail for Julian Assange. The Economist, a Rothschild magazine, gave Assange its new media award in 2008. WikiLeaks used the law firm Fox Rothschild to overturn a judge's ruling to order a web host to shut down the WikiLeaks site. The Guardian and the New York Times, two of Assange's media partners, are linked to the Rothschilds. The owner of the mansion where Assange was eventually put under house arrest has links to Rothschilds. Assange's lawyer is also Rothschild's lawyer. U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman, who was ultimately responsible for making Assange the largest media personality of the decade, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a Rothschild organization. The Rothschilds are an international family of bankers at the center of a web of wealthy families who control most of the countries through a worldwide network of privately owned central banks, masquerading as federal banks, major news chains, trusts, councils, etc. An unnamed source has put their monetary worth near 100 trillion, dwarfing the net worth of the likes of Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Ted Turner, etc. Socialite heiress Jemima Khan, née Goldsmith, posted £20,000 through Tightwad House and for the bail of WikiLeaks leader Julian Assange. She's genetically related to the Rothschilds and she is a sister-in-law. Her father, the late James Goldsmith, British banker, publisher, is a cousin to the Rothschilds. James' grandfather Adolf Goldschmidt came to London as a multimillionaire in 1895 and changed the family name from the German Goldschmidt to the English Goldsmith. The Goldschmidts, like their neighbors and relatives the Rothschilds, had been prosperous merchant bankers in Frankfurt, Germany since the 16th century. Following the Rothschilds' centuries-old edict to interbreed, Jemima Khan's brother, Ben, wed Kate Rothschild in 2003, and recently her other brother, Zach, a new MP in British Parliament, had been having an affair with his brother's sister-in-law, Alice Rothschild, Kate's sister, up until he divorced his wife 4 days after he was elected MP. Zach and Alice are presently living together. Khan's brothers are marrying into Rothschild wealth. The Rothschilds began grooming Julian Assange in 2008, when WikiLeaks was awarded The Economist's New Media Award. The Economist is the voice of Britain's establishment, led by the British Rothschilds, which has, for example, on balance, supported Britain's involvement in the Iraq War. Sir Evelyn Robert Adrian de Rothschild was chairman of The Economist from 1972 to 1989. His wife Lynn Forrester de Rothschild currently sits on The Economist's board. The Rothschild family also has a large shareholder interest in The Economist. At first blush, it is incredulous that the Economist, the pinnacle of the establishment, would give their award to Assange, knowing full well that he was releasing classified government documents and being overly aware of the havoc this will create in the world. The Rothschild's oft-stated goal, over the centuries, is for a one-world government, i.e., the New World Order. To this end, they engineer conflict between nations, to create crises that will then be utilized to increase the power of international entities, the UN, World Bank, IMF, etc. For example, they, and other closely related families like the Schiffs, financed the Bolsheviks. In the past, the Rothschild Empire have profited by bankrolling both sides of war. U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman is the Rothschild's point man in America. During the last presidential election, he took his friend, Republican candidate John McCain, to Jacob Rothschild's house for a fundraiser for McCain. Lieberman is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a Rothschild cabal which is essentially the shadow government of the U.S. Lieberman's recent actions resulted in cutting off the money supply of WikiLeaks, PayPal, MasterCard, Visa, stopped accepting donations for WikiLeaks. Lieberman publicly took credit for censoring WikiLeaks' website by pressuring Amazon to stop hosting the website. The result was that anonymous hacktivists launched attacks on the websites of companies which had discontinued service to WikiLeaks. Lieberman's campaign against WikiLeaks had the effect of increasing the martyrdom and hence the popularity of Assange and WikiLeaks. Lieberman made Assange a star, nearly becoming Time Magazine's Man of the Year. Julian Assange's lawyer is Mark Stevens of Finer Stevens Innocent, a major London elite law firm. They are the legal advisor to the Rothschilds' prestigious Waddesdon Trust. Assange's main media partner is The Guardian. The Guardian has been infiltrated by Rothschilds. The Guardian is controlled by Guardian Media Group, whose chairman is Paul Miners, a past employee of N.M. Rothschild Limited and Sons Limited. Guardian Media Group is owned by Scott Trust, which became a limited private company in 2008, with all trustees becoming directors of the Scott Trust. Anthony Sauls was appointed as a trustee of Scott Trust in 2009. He is currently executive vice chairman of the investment bank Rothschild. The Guardian gave the U.S. cables to the current New York Times. The chairman of the NYT is Arthur Sulzberger Jr., a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He is the son of Arthur Oakes Sulzberger and grandson of Arthur Hayes Sulzberger, who served as a trustee for the Rockefeller Foundation, in cahoots with Rothschilds for one world government. After a time in a real prison, Assange was imprisoned in a countryside mansion at the home of Vaughn Smith, the owner of Frontline Trust, a news organization that seeks to influence TV journalists. Frontline is funded by George Soros Organization, Open Society Institute, and George Soros is intimately intertwined with the Rothschilds. George Soros has been a frequent business partner with James Goldsmith, father of Jemima Khan and cousin of the Rothschilds. The director of Soros Open Society Institute, Richard Katz, was director of N.M. Rothschild & Sons for 16 years. Other board members like Nils Taube also hold positions in Rothschild banks, etc. Assange was a speaker at Vaughn Smith's Frontline Trust. Most people seem to believe that current events just happen, that events in the news are chain reactions of accidents, and that people with money and power sit idly by, watching events unfold. However, the Rothschilds thrive on manipulating the markets by having insider information while propagating contrary misinformation. In this way, they make huge profits. Assange has already said that damaging information on one U.S. bank will be released. In this fragile recovery, the crisis could be pivotal. The Guardian and the New York Times have this information, so it is available to Rothschilds in order to short the bank before the information is released. WikiLeaks is an invaluable tool for the Rothschilds to manipulate the financial markets, the whole monetary system, the future of nations, and the public. The information, or misinformation, from WikiLeaks also serves the Rothschilds' aim to increase conflict among nations in order to further their goal of one world government.
So, with all this, people have been saying for years that the Clintons are just Zionist puppets and they do the will of Israel, and a lot of their actions do seem to play that route. But here we have WikiLeaks releasing this information, and supposedly it's an Israeli proxy. Why is WikiLeaks attacking Clintons that we had always thought was just another puppet for Israel?
Well, because Netanyahu and the Zionists have thrown the Democrats under the bus. They elected the Democrats. They got Obama elected the first time around and the second time around. And through both of his terms, he never acted like the puppet that he was supposed to be, and he never really did anything. And in most cases, he acted like a jerk towards them. At least that's the way they see it. You know, they got him into office. He never turned around and did anything accumulative towards a better deal for them in any aspect, and actually contrary to the way that they already had it, he put his foot in their way, especially with the Iran deal, because now if Iran gets attacked by any country across the planet, even Israel, the United States must intervene in their defense, if militarily be so. It's a defense pact. So the whole plan that Israel's been going with for the last 10 years or more, that Iran needs to be obliterated, doesn't really work out so well, because if they attack Iran now, well, it's a big conundrum. I often find this, especially with all media outlets, kind of disturbing. It doesn't seem like they're on ball about the way that reality works. They think, you know, it's either one side or the other side, and they don't understand that there's ever two sides that do business together, that sometimes it goes awry. So Libya, Syria, all this stuff, so on and so forth, yeah. So Obama's basically tarnished his entire reputation for these wars, for these deals, these little side deals, these pay-for-play schemes of how he got elected. And yeah, he's gone around and he's done them, but at the same time, it's tarnished his reputation. So he hasn't always fully supportive of everything that went on directly in Israel, because he was already doing all of their really, really, really dirty work. There's that. So let's start with Obama. His terms were not beneficial for Israel, and Israel elected him. So they feel very betrayed and backstabbed. Additionally, the new person they have up for the second round, well, as I disclosed in the first article that we started talking about this in, if you looked on Israeli news, or you look all over Jewish news, I guess you could say. There was a clear distrust with Clinton and reiteration over and over and over and again of all the things that she has done wrong or the reasons why she is untrustworthy. The majority of these reasons, they accumulate to one simple act that she's done wrong, which she is double dealt. So she's ran over here, she's dealt with this side, and then she's ran over there, and she's dealt with that side. And what I mean by that is she'll go to the Israelis, the Zionists, and she'll tell them everything they want to hear about their genocide of the Palestinians, that it's everything that's great, and they should keep doing it, and blah, 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 so on and so forth. But then she'll run over to the Palestinians, and she'll tell them, no, it's so horrible, Israel is a war criminal, and blah, 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 blah. So she'll play both sides against each other. That's what they really don't like. It's, if you're going to be my friend, but don't double deal me because I'm a Jew and I will double deal you worse than you can ever understand.
Is this possibly the reason why, or is there another reason why Obama neglected to veto the resolution that was recently put forward by Egypt?
Well, there's two main factors that come into the UN resolution. There's the election that they did not win, so they did not get it. Then they turned around and they pulled this whole recount scam, and they didn't get more votes. So everywhere that they're trying to, you know, get some wiggle room, the old people that used to help them out and make sure everything fell into place aren't doing it anymore, and it's not working out for them. They've got this problem with the election has gone to shit. The Democrats and the Democrats, I guess you could say, underneath the Obama wing that got elected by the Jews the first time around, that Hillary did not get elected, they feel betrayed. They feel like, hey, you know, I did a bunch of your dirty dealing. I've tarnished my reputation. I've done as much as I can do. It's your fault. You need to meet me in the middle. But Obama doesn't get it. This was never about meeting in the middle. This was about being a puppet. So he's kind of like, you know, trying to smack back in his righteous liberal way that liberals do. And, the whole right-wing Zionist movement attitude is kind of like, no, you'll do what we say. That's the way that they treat people. The Pizzagate, it was brought on because of the WikiLeaks.
Handkerchief code with John Podesta and all these other things that led to the affiliation with John Podesta and people from Comet Ping Pong, John Podesta's brother, and Spirit Cooking, and the Lurita Express, and that lady he was doing Spirit Cooking with. All these other connections started to come together with WikiLeaks. So what you're saying is WikiLeaks actually implemented these to indict their enemies.
Well, the enemies of their funders, of their backers, the ones that set them up or orchestrate them.
It is imperative to comprehend that the so-called puppet masters, the ones behind the scenes pulling the strings, are in such high places of power, not only seemingly out of reach, but out of sight as well, and therefore above and beyond true public scrutiny. These are the ones who really look at the masses as nothing more than absurd cattle, worthless eaters, if you will, that are usable as workhorses or disposable resources to be controlled and used to further their dark agendas of their utopian goals. Money to these grand elite is nothing more than a tool used to bribe and buy people, the same as properties and technologies. Their true passion is for power and control, as they already own all the monetary wealth in the first place. Now, understanding these dark and hidden overlords own and control all media outlets, it should be easier to understand that truly nothing is made known to the public unless they want it so. Oh, you say so-and-so journalist or whistleblower discovered such-and-such information and made it available to the public. WikiLeaks, for example, putting out the so-called secret information to the masses, exposing this or that. Since the powers that be, let's refer to them as the controllers, since the controllers have all the ability to censor, silence, and even shut down any source that speaks out too much or too loudly, do you honestly think that anything they want kept silent is going to slip out to the public? In other words, there is nothing you have access to that hasn't been made accessible. Truthers for years warned of the government spying on its citizens, but it took a CIA operative, Edward Snowden, being made a spectacle in order for the people to finally catch on and believe we are all being watched. Oh, the government CIA says it is so, so it must be true, regardless of what these tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists shouted for years, prior to the Snowden saying the same things. Individuals who really do speak out on their own and try to expose some hidden truth are either smeared, compromised, blackballed, bribed, and have their reputations ruined, or they are simply silenced or killed. Many so-called accidents or suicides are just presented that way to keep the majority from asking questions. To the top controllers, anyone is expendable, and the true players at the higher ranks know this all too well. So concerning Pizzagate, let us first enter into evidence for your consideration this card from the Illuminati card game. The card titled Pizza for the Secret Meeting is disturbing enough when looking into this subject, but I'd like you to focus on what the card actually says. Play this card at any time. In other words, when convenient to the players that be. But this is what stands out to me. Pick one secret group to lose its secret status. The insinuation of a microphone in a secret meeting denotes the recording of those involved and therefore gives someone the ability to blackmail the parties involved. Again, this is all about control. It is interesting to note the microphone looks like a flying saucer from the George Jetson cartoon, and the satellite-style antenna just adds to the cosmic or spacey theme to this card. Of course, at first glance, what's wrong with having pizza for the secret meeting? But if you've researched Pizzagate at all, you understand the darker meaning behind this card, and that pizza is a term used amongst pedophile rings and human trafficking to refer to underage girls. I told you this may get a bit dark before seeing the light. So again, I ask why? Why this particular secret group to lose its secret status? And why Podesta, the man leading the Clinton campaign for the presidency? Or was it to smear the owner of Comet Pizza? Again, why? Either way, the secret group of spirit cooking and the whole pedophile ring has seemingly lost its secret status. Why? The obvious question should be, who really played this Illuminati card? And why? And who are the Illuminati, really?
Listen, I want to quickly talk about some things that have popped up, the WikiLeaks releases, where they claim the CIA! The CIA has more power than the NSA. The CIA is bugging your phone. The CIA is doing this. Okay, let me start with the crap. Unless I've missed it, please let me know. WikiLeaks is not mentioning Israel. Again, WikiLeaks has released some stuff on Israel, pretty damning too, I might add, but as far as I'm aware, no mention of Israel as the top dog in the surveillance industry. No mention of the Technion, Israeli Institute of Technology. No mention of Operation Talpiot. No one, I'm the only one who mentions that one. Operation Talpiot, whereby they trained up Israeli military intelligence officers to become entrepreneurs in the software and hardware high technology development field, which now has infiltrated every single database, communication center, Google. Assuming you believe Google was ever independent, of course not. That's an Israeli front. They're not NSA, they're Israeli run. Jewish Zionist neocon run. That's why Netanyahu wields so much power. That's why there's a desperate attempt to get rid of him. Many in Israel want rid of him. European banking class Jews want rid of him. He's got them all by the balls because all of them are pedophiles themselves. That's what's going on. So WikiLeaks, not mentioning, of course, that Israel is running this, because WikiLeaks has become nothing more than a release point for Israeli intelligence paperwork. That's not Julian Assange impinging on his reputation. I think Julian's for real. But his site obviously was always at risk of becoming a great way to release your own disinformation. That's fine. That was a given from the beginning. But we have to face the facts that the only thing this is benefiting is Donald Trump. As you know, Donald Trump is at war with the establishment deep state of the CIA. Netanyahu received, is currently being investigated for corruption. He received a phone call from Donald Trump in the middle of his corruption hearing, corruption interview. Now BB has very kindly released some stuff on the CIA deep state to help benefit Trump, to say that they are picking on him. I don't doubt that there is a real fight going on between various establishment groups, as there is with any mafia outfit. They're all fighting for supremacy right now. They don't care about us. They care about themselves and their bank balance. We're incidental. You need to think about these things. Who benefits? No one is talking about the private Israeli security hacker contractors. They're just like Blackwater. They're private companies. These people are all graduates of the Technion. They're all graduates of Operation Telpiot. They're all graduates of the Israeli Defense Force, military intelligence arm. Black Cube, I'll give you one example. Black Cube, there's hundreds of them. Black Cube were caught recently hacking the prosecution's office of an Eastern Bloc country, delving into mafia activities. And of course, that will be, quote, Jewish mob mafia activities. Hello, Black Cube. I'm not worried about the NSA hacking me. I'm worried about the thousands of graduates from these programs, the Israeli Defense Force programs, who have been trained up under Operation Telpiot. They're in your company. They're working in your company, in your IT department now. They're giving all the secrets to Israel. They're hacking all your stuff. Leon Wynn, the guy who I took on many years ago, working for Australian Defense Industries, or Australian Jew, Orthodox Jewish family in Israel, former Israeli Defense Force, and I guarantee you, trained at the Technion. I bet if we looked, he was. He now works for BHP. BHP Bulletin. He'll be getting all the pricing and sensitive corporate private information for the Chinese now, who are best friends with Israel. Israel's opened a Technion Institute in China now. You getting it yet? No one's talking about this, except me. And if you are talking about it, I want to hear from you. I want to get together with you. Trump has been raised his entire life amongst the New York, New Jersey mob. You do know this, don't you? Father was a lawyer for the New York, New Jersey Jewish mob. Breitbart, Steve Bannon, his chief advisor, is a virtual agent for the State of Israel, being run by Benjamin Netanyahu himself. Breitbart was founded in Jerusalem, for crying out loud. I mean, what more do you need? Hello? Listen, the horse had bolted, grassroots awareness of Israel, Orthodox Judaism, this spying stuff, it was breaking out everywhere. Israel doing 9/11, they had to put their man on it, and that's Donald Trump. Now he's moving against Iran. Hello?
We shall have a Jewish world government. Whether or not we like it, the question is only whether world government will be achieved by consent or by conquest. James Warburg, Jewish merchant banker. Our ruling crime families are not dumb. In fact, they're getting smarter and faster. They know it's the end game. They know it's either us or them. It took them a while to work out that it is cheaper to go from A to B, riding their horse to death and replacing it with a new one, rather than watering, feeding, and giving it rest when it gets tired. So, they replaced feudalism and open slavery with capitalism. Then, they figured that it is more profitable to groom the smartest and most ambitious kids on the block and entice them with a privileged lifestyle in return for their help with outsmarting their fellow men with trickery and evil scams. So they gave us soft-spoken psychopaths and mild-mannered mass murderers at Rome corporate boardrooms. The most ruthless of those smart kids end up with multi-billion dollar fortunes, not for them to use at their sole discretion, but to put to good use in the stealth enslavement of mankind. Those Bill Gates, George Soros's, Eric Schmidt's and Mark Zuckerberg's know all too well that their fortunes will be wiped out overnight if they don't do as they're being told. That's why every copy of MS Windows and the Mac OS has a backdoor to Mossad and the NSA. That's why Bill Gates donates billions to mass sterilization programs disguised as vaccinations and invests heavily in Monsanto and chemtrails. That's why George Soros spends hundreds of millions on campaigns to help disarm the American people and overthrow governments that refuse to follow the orders of the ruling parasites. That's why Eric Schmidt has transformed his search engine into a corporate Big Brother, and Mark Zuckerberg, his social networking application to a spying tool that knows everything about you, your family, your friends, your likes and dislikes, and even your most private thoughts. It is no coincidence that most of these smartest kids on the block who sold their soul to the devil are Jewish. Not only does the Jewish mindset uniquely enable them to do the most horrible things to their fellow men without having a bad conscience, provided they are not Jewish, their Jewishness also provides them with a highly effective armor, the Judeo-Bolshevik narration of the Jewish Holocaust. Anybody disclosing the truth about their evil doings is immediately suspected of being motivated by evil, irrational anti-Semitism. Never mind that 97% of Jews are no Semites, but the descendants of converted Moroccan Berbers and Mongolian Turk Huns and their Andalusian, respectively Germanic rape victims. And if maliciously accusing someone of criminally insane racial hatred just for telling the truth wasn't bad enough, our ruling parasites and their Jewish minions systematically use the label of anti-Semitism to silence anyone who criticizes their wrongdoings. Usually, they hide behind some wishy-washy community standards, which magically always seem to kick in when someone says something, comments, videos and articles are deleted, writers banned, accounts suspended, online payment services cancelled, you name it. All of this is obviously in breach of freedom of expression, which in most countries is guaranteed by law. But that's how tyranny works, doesn't it? If a government cannot perform an act of tyranny because of legal restrictions, it just outsources it to a private corporation, and nobody who could do anything about it seems to care. If Congress doesn't allow stationing troops in a foreign country, or is too difficult about what these troops are allowed to do, the government simply outsources the job to private security contractors, the preferred euphemism for mercenaries. If the government can't lock you up for telling the truth or extradite you to a country where they have hate laws suspending freedom of expression, they just make your boss fire you and get you blacklisted by recruitment companies and HR departments of major firms. In such climate, most people no longer dare to be seen talking to, leave alone being friendly with anyone able of critical thinking, for fear of being suspected of harboring similar thoughts. If the government has legal restrictions of how far it can go with spying on its citizens, it just gets the likes of Microsoft, Google and Facebook to do it for them. Indeed, our ruling crime families are getting smarter and faster, but so are we. They know that this is the end game, but so do we. We might only have started to wake up to the lethal threat corporations in cahoots with tyrannic governments are posing to us, but we are 8 billion people. They are a few hundred monsters and their low-life minions. They have decided that there is no room on this planet for all of us. It is up to us to decide who is going to survive.